I want to thank Brother George for his sincere prayer this morning. For each one of you who have been praying, we ask you to continue to pray that God would be exalted this morning and we as God's people would be challenged. The subject this morning is entitled, What is Our Spiritual Temperature? Are we set apart for the service of the Lord? In Revelation chapter 3, where our brother read, And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In contrast to that, to them verses, I want to read from Mark chapter 12. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I'd like to read a quote from Watchman Nee. He said, God desires more than anything else for a person who will desire after his own heart, God's heart. I wonder how many of us take life serious. Do we realize that any one of us could die this morning before this sermon is completed? In the average day, we're caught up with ourselves and we forget God. Just how much have you thought about God in the past week? Don't we forget that our life truly is a vapor. Here a short time and then it's gone. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, go ye now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. How quick we are to forget God, his love for us, and his desire for our love for him. I'd like for us to pause for just a few seconds. And with our eye of faith, see God the Father sitting on his throne with his precious Son at his right side with all his glory. Seeing each one of our lives and desiring us not to be lukewarm, but truly loving him. First of all, this morning we want to think on the thought that our understanding of God affects our spiritual temperature. There's no doubt in my mind this morning that the Spirit of God works among us. Some of the things that Brother Ken said in the opening just fit in with what I'm going to say now. The Holy Spirit is present this morning in this place. How often do we rush into God's presence without the seriousness of his greatness and his holiness? If we'd have read from verses 13 to 16 there in the first chapter of Revelation, it speaks about his voice, speaks about his appearance there with God the Father. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, this was revealed to him in a vision. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Oh, loved ones, we need to become speechless and amazed and humbled, a desire to worship this God. If we would approach him in this manner every time we come in prayer, our lives would be changed, and we see his holiness and his greatness. A God who created this universe with all the galaxies, they tell us it may be 350 billion. How can we comprehend that? We can't. What about the details of his creation? Did you know that a caterpillar has 228 separate and distinctive muscles in his head? Did that just happen? The average elm tree has about 6 million leaves on it. Your own heart generates enough pressure as it pumps blood through your body that it could squirt blood up to 30 feet. On and on we could go about our great God. That's just a drop in the bucket of who he is. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork." Also, God is holy, free from any speck of sinfulness, and we can't comprehend that. That's God. To the Jews, saying something three times speaks of its perfection, so to call God holy, holy, holy is to say he is perfectly set apart with nothing and no one to compare with. That's what it means to be holy. We worship a God that we cannot over magnify because of who he is. God is eternal. In Psalm 102 and verse 12, "But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generation." Psalm 102:27, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." You know, there's many people around us who are famous and great, but they're gone, not God. He's forever. God is all-knowing. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, "Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his eyes, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." He sees you this morning in this worship service, and he knows whether your heart is in the service to worship him or you're here to be entertained. Psalm 139 tells us he knows our thoughts. He knows where we sit, where we walk, every day, detail of our life. God is all-powerful. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven or in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones and dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Philippians 2:7, "By him also, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and gave him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's many people today who do not believe in God, and they curse his name. And someday they're going to have to answer to God, every one of us, for our lives before him. As we realize all who God really is, and we cannot fully, in these earthly minds, understand that all, this surely should affect our spiritual temperature to love him more and more and more. He was willing to take your place and my place on Calvary and become sin that we could be saved. Secondly, we want to look at our relationship as it affects our temperature, our spiritual temperature. How many times have you said, or maybe heard someone else say, I wish I knew God's will for my life? And there's nothing wrong to ask that. We should seek His will. But I think we need to realize that God cares more about our response to Him by His Spirit's leading today, this very moment, than about what we intend to do next year. The decisions we make next year will be affected by the degree of which we submit to the Spirit right now in making decisions. God wants us to stake everything on His power and His presence in our lives. If we take God at His word and allow the Holy Spirit to lead, that relationship will affect our temperature. Each time we sin, it produces two effects in our life. First, it gives us the pleasures of sin. And secondly, it creates in us a craving for more sin. People say, what is worldliness? Each and every time, it's something tends to quench our spiritual life before the Lord is worldliness. And God says we should turn away from that. Has your relationship with God actually changed the way you live? Are you being choked out slowly by spending too much time, energy, money, and thought on the things of this world? Oh, how we need to be like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's the burden and the desire that we should have as Christians this morning. We need to remember Jesus' words in Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Are you a lukewarm Christian this morning? Are you listening to the message that God is sending? Are you distracted? Lukewarm people attend church fairly regularly. But in Isaiah 29:13, it says, wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw nigh with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Lukewarm people choose what is popular over what is God's will. Instead of accepting what God says is the final authority, they accept what appears to the old nature. Luke 6 and verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. When the word of God is proclaimed clearly, definitely, not everyone's going to like you. You go back in the Old Testament to the prophets of old. Many of them were hated because they spoke for God. And if we're loved by everybody, we better take notice. Lukewarm people rarely share their faith for fear of being rejected. In Matthew chapter 10, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's a terrible thing to understand. If we're not proclaiming the word of God and upholding His name, Jesus is going to reject us because we're lukewarm. Lukewarm people think about life on earth much more than they do think about eternity. How is it with us? We have that do list today, this week's schedule, next month's vacation. How often do we think about God? Lukewarm people think about life on earth much more often than eternity in heaven. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Lukewarm people do enough to not feel too guilty about their lifestyle. How far can I go before it's considered a sin, instead of how can I keep myself pure as a temple of the Holy Spirit? Lukewarm people are not willing to forgive those who hurt them. The Lord's Prayer, when we pray, forgive me as I forgive others, those who have sinned against me. These are just a few examples of lukewarmness. There are many, many, many more. I'd like to share a plea with us this morning to each one of us. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the scripture says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves, not someone else. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Know not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. How much do you really love the Lord? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. Each one of us as Christians have a cross to bear if we're God's child. For the child of God, life is not a playground. It's not a playground. It's a place, life is a place we serve the Lord and share the message of salvation to people who are headed for hell. Those who need the Lord. What is your spiritual temperature this morning? What is my spiritual temperature? Thirdly, what is needful to increase our spiritual temperature that we would be hot for God? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Do I? Do you? God knows. You know. When we love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind, we will fully trust Him and we will obey Him. How can we demonstrate our love for the Lord? Here's a number of ways I think we can, according to Scripture. First of all, we demonstrate our love by meditating on God's glory in Psalm 18:13. How many of us take time to be quiet in God's presence and to fellowship with Him? Secondly, by trusting in God's divine power in Psalms 31:23. You know, we're living in dangerous times. We're living in the last days, and we better have our trust in love for God, for Jesus Christ, instead of the politicians of this world, because there's bad times coming and we cannot depend on them, but we need to depend on our relationship with Jesus Christ and our love for Him. Third is seeking fellowship with God. I would like to ask this morning, but I wouldn't do that. How many of us have a quiet time with God every day? Every day. Fellowship with God shows our love for Him. Another way is loving God's laws and His commandments. In Psalm 119 and verse 165, Fifthly, being sensible to how God feels in Psalm 69:9. You know, many times we're sensible about what other people feel, but how does God feel about your life and my life? Are we a poor testimony for Him out in the world? The things we say, the things we do, the places we go. We should also be loving. We show our love by loving the things that God loves in Psalm 119, 72, 97, and 103. And we should be loving those that God loves. Who does God love? He loves that drunkard. He loves that neighbor who's nasty and unkind. How do we show our love to God? We should hate the things that God hates in Psalm 47:10. Do we do that? Do we hate when we have wrong attitudes? Do we hate when we have acted wrongly? Do we turn away from it? We should grieve over sin. We see a brother or sister sin. We should be grieved, and we should be praying and seeking to help them. Matthew 26:75. We should be rejecting the world and the ways of the world. In 1 John 2:15, we should be longing to be with Christ. In 2 Timothy 4:8, if we long to be with Him, we'll be spending time with Him every day. We should be obeying God wholeheartedly in John 14:21. But I believe above all, the one who truly loves God is the one who truly obeys God. Like the Apostle Paul, he knows his love and obedience is imperfect. And I know mine is imperfect. And sometimes when I read this verse, the Lord presses upon me, do I really love the Lord as much as I should? And I pray every day that He would give me more of a love for Him. Because if I love Him more, I will serve Him better. But the Apostle Paul goes on to say in Philippians 3:12, not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but a follower after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended, or understanding of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. One who is ready to give up, do, or suffer anything in order to please and glorify God, doing His will should be our desire above everything else. I believe that some of us have only experienced a self-salvation. And I say that kindly, and I believe that's possible. We know that God has forgiven our sins, but do we know that He has also broken the power that sin has in our lives? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, you free, from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or to be lukewarm is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed shall be. In Romans 8:13, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We need to get them under, get rid of them. Christ died that we'd be free from them. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus died that we could be saved, but he also died that we could be victorious in Christ. After we are saved, God wants us step by step to come into a deeper knowledge of our corruptness, as well as a greater rejection of our own self-righteousness. We all have to die to self-righteousness. We all need to come to the point where we say, Lord, I'm unable to do anything right for you, but I trust you to do everything in me because you have died for that purpose. Jesus said in John 15:5, for without me, you can do nothing. Too many times we're too proud to admit how helpless we are. We try to do everything on our own instead of allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives. When we give ourselves completely into God's hands, he's going to touch our lives point by point, those things that are not pleasing to him. God loves the way we are. He loves us the way we are, but he loves us so much, he will not leave us like that. He hates our sin. He hates our lukewarmness. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, he's telling us to seek his face. Seek God's face and his will daily in our lives. In verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you and in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do I live day by day in faithful surrender to God? Do I take honor and praise from others that is robbing God of his glory? You know, sometimes someone may say, well, I watch your life and I appreciate your living. Or maybe I like your sermon and appreciate your sermons. I appreciate your teaching, whatever it may be. And I think any person who exalts what they have done are stealing from the glory that God should have. And we need to be careful of that. Are there changes that need to be made? Oh, how we need to love him more so that we will be more obedient to his desire in our lives. You know, God may work in different ways in our lives. If we're open to the Spirit, he'll give us direction. Maybe sometimes we need to change a job, an occupation in life. God's not pleased with it. Maybe it's not altogether wrong, but it's some other place that'd be better for us. Maybe there are some activities that take the time that the Lord would desire that would be used to his honor and to his glory. What fills your mind and takes large block of your time each week? Is the Lord pleased with that? What about the souls of our children, our family, our neighbors, those of our fellow workers that need encouragement and uplift? We need to be careful we're not teaching our children that life is a playground instead of a place to help people who are headed for hell to know the way of salvation. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him himself also to walk as he hath walked. How has Christ walked? He walked to Calvary. He died for me and for you. He loved us. He obeyed the Father. Are we? Are you? am I. The fact that a holy, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, merciful, and just God loves you and me is hard to comprehend. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. He really didn't need us. He don't need me. He don't need you. That he wants us. He chose us. Even considers us his inheritance. Do you love him? Do you really love him for what he gives you? Freedom from hell? Eternal life? Everyday blessings? Or because who he is? And because he loves us as his child. I'd like to plead with us again to go to God's throne room. If we could just get a glimpse into heaven and see God the Father on his throne in all his holiness, all his glory, and his Son standing by his side, the one who was revealed in John 1, Revelation 1, and when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. He laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And had the keys of hell and of death. This morning, as God the Father and God the Son are viewing this worship service, what do they know about you? What do they know about me? Are we lukewarm in our love for them? And if we are, and we don't deal with it, God has to keep his word. Revelation 3:15, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I would spit thee out of my mouth. God doesn't want to do that this morning. But we got to be serious with God and not play games. Or are we obeying Matthew 22:37? Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I like to read a quote from Billy Graham. Whatever you love most, be it sports, pleasure, business, or God, that is your God. So we ask the question, what is your God today? I wonder if it would be helpful, I'll give a suggestion, that we would pray this prayer today, each one of us, privately when we get home. A prayer that's laid on my heart. Jesus, I need to give myself up. I'm not strong enough to love you and walk with you on my own. I can't do it, and I need you. I need you deeply and desperately. I believe you are worth it all, that you are better than anything else I could have in this life or in the next life. Take all of me. Take all of me. Have your way with me. I would trust that that would be our prayer this morning. I'd like for us to sing an invitation hymn this morning in the Black Hymnal, page 451. If God is speaking to your heart and you want to begin again, you'd like for us to pray with you and encourage you, we'd be glad to do that. Let's sing together prayerfully, page 451 in the Black Hymnal. Please sing. Sing that last verse prayerfully again. A brother, a father has stood to rededicate his life to the Lord. Maybe it's someone else. Don't play games with God. Life is too uncertain. Please sing the last verse again.